is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Happy draft weekend in Buffalo. Sun is shining. The signage adorns KeyBank Center. The Ticketmaster Alumni Plaza is buzzing and will be throughout the course of the weekend. We can't wait to dive in on everything because, Marty, everything continues to happen. I happen to notice this.
Yeah.
The latest from New Era. It's a beautiful design in honor of the draft. Taro Sugimoto.
Oh, that's what this
Tokyo
is.
The Tokyo Katanas. And
what a draft pick by the Sabres.
1974 Punch Imlach, fictitious pick out of the Japanese Ice Hockey League that did not exist. And what a story. It's part of Sabres lore. I love the cap. I zipped in to the New Era store on Delaware this week because when I saw it come out, I knew it would be in very limited supply. And I also wanted to get there before all the top prospects invaded the store yesterday.
They were going to be shopping at the New Era store. That.
And you have had an extended draft day already as
well. Yeah, so, well, first of all, great show yesterday you had with Thurman Thomas and Darren Dreger. I was sad to miss.
34, greater than 43.
Yes, 34 is way better than 43. I was sad to miss Thurman's appearance on the show and the last appearance of Darren Dreger for the season. We'll see him back in September. So I had to go pick up my son at school and all of that because he's back in town. So that was great. I was a little nervous for today, Duffer.
Ooh.
So I feel like there's a lot happening. And it all started with an event that I was the moderator to at KeyBank Center. It was called Beyond the Ice event, presented by Highmark. And this was basically a panel that I was, you know, asking the questions. Commissioner Bettman was there, which he noticed. He's like, this is like my fourth time in having a conversation with you this year. So that was great. Sabres and Bills owner Terry Pegula was there. And president and CEO of Visit Buffalo, Patrick Kaler, was there also. And it's all about the economic impact and the tourism and the attraction that is Buffalo. So Cammy Clooney was there singing, entertaining the crowd. So it was a great conversation. I mentioned at the beginning something like, there's been a lot of things happening. I'm going to have my phone on just in case a trade happens. And then Mr. Pegula goes, yeah, I hear we're shopping you, Marty. So and to that point, Gary Bettman really quickly said, he goes, you know what, Terry, I have to say that all my hockey people at the NHL and the stats people at the NHL always say great things about Marty and Brian because they ask the questions about the stats. They keep, he goes, they probably keep them employed because they're two of the only ones that ever reach out to them. So there you go. So we're pretty good, Duffer.
Well, this is you didn't need to extend the sincere compliment because I'm sure it was aimed directly at you.
No, he said as your broadcast team always ask, and he said,
well, part
said,
of our broadcast team was also there. Megan Chaker was there too.
She was sitting right in front, and I went to look for her and say hello after, and she was gone. I'm like,
we're
how did
crossing
I lose
paths
her?
On the way into the like, building today.
Well,
so.
I'm like, I mean, you know, she's around. But
okay,
she was
so
gone.
Everyone, including undoubtedly everybody who was at that breakfast, everyone in Buffalo, everyone across the hockey world, is, I think, speechless by this point in time, based on everything that has happened and with that anticipation of what might still happen. So,
yes.
Sabres live poll.
Yes.
If the Sabres had to pick at number four and McKenna and Stenberg are gone, who would you take?
So, I am intrigued by what Vancouver would do at number three and picking Callum Malhotra or not. It seems to me like the rumors out there is that Vancouver would stay away from Callum Malhotra as dad is coaching the Vancouver Canucks. And it may be a lot for both, right? To say, hey, the son, the dad, the whatever. So I said, I'm intrigued. And I think Callum Malhotra is going to be a fantastic hockey player. So that's who I think the Sabres would pick at number four. Now, that's also anticipating that maybe Chase Reed wouldn't be there. Maybe Vancouver goes with him. Maybe it's Bjork. I don't know. I think it's between McKenna and Reed right now. But I not McKenna, Malhotra and Reed. But I pressed the button on the computer for Caleb Malhotra?
Well, there's so many names that are, and it's the top 10 is flush with defensemen after you get
there's like
past,
five
right,
or
and
six
that's the thing. And
guys?
So I think we'll dive in obviously as the yes. show goes on and take a little bit more of your reaction to our Sabres Live poll at Sabres Live. But Marty, Fried's dropped a bomb.
People are saying Reed right now. Like
yeah,
Chase
well,
Reed,
he's mentioned most, but I think the fact that there are so many defensemen, you're seeing all the other names. Mm-hmm. Amidst this group. And again, this is where the jockeying comes into play. Who wants to get up to four? Who still wants to get into the top 10? What do the Sharks do? The Sabres have multiple first-round picks. St. Louis yes. has four first-round picks. Like, it's so insane. And then Friedge dropped this bomb last night about Jason Robertson and Seattle and him rejecting after, you know, the two sides put in the framework potentially for a deal. Robertson rejecting $15 million per over 8 years. That in itself is seismic within the game because it leads to so many more questions. What could Seattle possibly do? What is Dallas still going to do? What does Robertson truly want and believe? And then the trickle down would come from that. It's what a huge story amidst all the other stories.
So for those that... Because I had people ask me yesterday, last night, and this morning, basically saying, why is Jason Robertson like involved in the trade talks because he's an RFA? Mm-hmm. The difference is that if Dallas, let's see, was to trade Jason Robertson with a new contract to Seattle, then the return is going to be better for Dallas. So that's why they need the player's approval. It's not like, you know, he has a no-moving clause or anything like that. He doesn't have any trade protection. Mm-hmm. He's not at the age yet with his contracts where he could have trade protection. He will in the next deal because he's a year away from UFA status. But the fact that Jason Robertson is kind of driving the bus on that is because Dallas would want a return that will match the contract, the player, and everything. You're not just trading an RFA without a deal and maximizing that return. This is interesting because 8 years, $15 million on average, that's a massive deal. That's more than Leon Draisaitl. That's more than a lot of players that have signed recently. Now, I get Kaprizov went 17 in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And he was going to walk, too. And maybe Robertson says, I should be getting 16 or 17, just like Kaprizov did. But 15 to Seattle, that's a lot of money. That was a big swing and a miss by, well, maybe a miss. Maybe they, visit the whole situation. But Jason Robertson is driving the big bus right now in what he wants.
He is. And the draft, of course, starts tonight here in Buffalo at 7 o'clock. We will have draft reaction coverage on our social platforms, mm-hmm. on the app, on Sabres YouTube. Dan Dunleavy will be in studio. And, of course, our latest, addition to our
Cam.
Draft Insider group, Cam Robinson from Elite Prospects is going to be with us as well in what could be an incredibly busy night from a Sabres standpoint as it pertains to the current roster and perhaps imminent transactions to bring guys in or the actual selections that they currently have in the first round at number 4 and at number 20.
We asked 2 days ago, what did the Sabres do? Pick number 4, trade 20, pick 20, trade 4, pick both, trade both. Most people were like, pick 4, trade 20. They want some action, mm-hmm. but I think, look, there's been some rumors around the NHL, and one rumor yesterday, Frank Cervalli kind of saying that the Carolina Hurricanes had offered a first-round pick, Alexander Nikishin, defenseman for Carolina, and other pieces, not knowing what the other pieces are, to Winnipeg for Connor Hellebuck. Well, okay, Carolina's pick is not the 4th overall.
Right.
Not even the 20th overall. So could the Sabres say, hey, you know what? Like, we're going to start negotiating maybe on the, around the 20th, but maybe we have to throw in the 4th for that or what the situation will be. Florida's in involved in this conversation, too, for potentially having Connor Hellebuck. So there's a lot of movement that could happen.
So Winnipeg reportedly has not confirmed a Hellebuck trade request.
Yeah.
When you look at the Sabres' involvement in seemingly everything, based on all the people we've talked to on this show and what you continue to see on social, what do you expect to happen tonight, starting with Hellebuck, continuing with Trocheck, perhaps with Matthew Nyes, obviously Robertson as well? There are DeBrincat rumors. Mm-hmm. there's an awful lot, and there are actual signings that have been done, which we'll update in due time here. And Shayna Goldman will join us in the back half of the show.
Shayna's going to have a lot to talk about, and that's going to be great. And she did write about a lot of those stories that we're discussing
especially
right now.
Especially destinations that make sense for
Connor Hellebuyck. Yeah. So we'll ask her a lot of her input on that. So it's funny because if I was to put my list of like top five, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, storyline that I would look for the Sabres, one would be, okay, obviously the Connor Hellebuyck situation there. Number two, I think maybe the Alex DeBrincat and the fourth period, David Pinota and his group reporting on social yesterday on X that the Sabres have been a team that has been linked to potentially inquiring about Alex DeBrincat. That would be my number two. I'm looking at Alex DeBrincat as a player, number one. He has a year left. So you're basically having him trying to figure out where does that leave you with Kulik and Oslin and Hellenius, and are they ready? So I think that this could be a great year for those three young kids, but who knows? The NHL is a tough league, and they've all shown great steps, but are they ready to take the very, very next step? And having a DeBrincat would buy you a year of that. Then I think I go for Trocheck and then Nyes. You know, I think that the center position is interesting, so that's probably why Trocheck would be a little higher than a Matthew Nyes. I don't really see, personally, that's just me. Maybe it happens, but I don't see the fit for a Matthew Nyes with the Buffalo Sabres right now. You're looking at your wingers, you know, short-term. You know, the Doan and the Benson and the Quinn and the Zucker. Stage Thompson on the wing. Which one, of Kulik, Oslin, or Hellenius plays the wing? I think you're fine there. But I think a DeBrincat would be a fantastic addition. A Trocheck would be good down the middle, but you'd have to rearrange your middle. But number one, the storyline for me is Connor Hellebuyck.
Indeed. Across the league right now, obviously on the heels of yesterday, you have Nichushkin going from the Western Conference to the East, yes. as he leaves Colorado in a deal that sends him to Columbus. Now, he's got a lot of term left at 4 years and more than $6
million. Yeah.
And so this is an aggressive move at a time when Columbus is in the news for, you know, challenging reasons. And we say that because many markets have lived this. And obviously a lot of teams are going through it. Detroit with Larkin. Mm-hmm. And obviously Ottawa just did with Tkachuk. But what is the future of Werenski, the reigning Norris Trophy winner in Columbus? So what Don Waddell is obviously trying to do is bring in as many what he hopes will be impact NHL. In Nichushkin has been one of the game's biggest wild cards, obviously. And when he's on, he can be a dynamic forward. Yeah. There's no question.
Power forward.
But
there's been some issues, some off-ice issues.
It's still a big, big, big
health
risk,
issues.
I think, you know, for Columbus at this point in time. Jordan Spence, had an interesting year with Ottawa. Shayna and I actually, you know, believed he should have been used a lot more.
Yes.
And obviously the Senators feel now that they do have a good piece in Jordan Spence. They have extended him with a four-year deal worth $5 million per. Tony DeAngelo stays with the Islanders 2 years at $4.5 million. These are all important because these are players that are staying with their organizations at a time when other teams that have oodles of cap space would potentially be looking at bringing in depth defensemen anywhere from 3 to 6 on the depth chart. So all of these things ultimately have an impact. Montreal and the Rangers made a deal today that sent defenseman Will Trudeau to New York. Forward Brett Berard goes to Montreal. Nick Kiprios of Sportsnet reported yesterday he believes that Montreal is expecting, if you will, to add two top six forwards this weekend or within the next, you know, week and a half.
Give me names, Nick. Give me names.
Well, no, but so that's the thing. But and we've spent, and rightfully so much time talking about all the moves the Sabres have done and still want to achieve. And you look at Detroit, unable to complete the Larkin deal yet. Boston, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Many feel like they're kind of being left on the outside here. How aggressive do they actually get to try to improve their center ice position? Mm-hmm. Like, these are massive, massive impact, you know, stories potentially within the division.
So for Boston, Victor Arvidsson is a UFA this mm-hmm. summer. Like, you're looking at the UFA crop on July 1, and the number one player on that list, now that there's no Alex Tuch and McMahon sign in Seattle and everything, it's Anthony Mantha. We had a great season. Well, good season for his standard.
Really
it's been
good.
A really good
goals.
Season. Yeah. Over 30 goals, over 60 points. That's great. Patrick Kane, Victor Arvidsson, Claude Giroux, Matt Zuccarello. It's like, it's not great.
It's an old man's club.
It's an old man's club. I didn't even say Alex Ovechkin.
Within the context of today's game, it's an old man's club, for sure.
Vladimir Tarasenko, Mason Marchment, Anders Lee. Like, there is some role-filling type of players. But this is not like if you're Montreal, you're going to add two top six pieces, say, we're going UFA. That's with a trade. You're not the Sabres looking at, hey, you know what? We want to impact center to maybe come in, and maybe Tage Thompson goes to the wing. We have an impact center. That's not with UFA. That's through a trade. That is going to be interesting. You mentioned Zach Werenski earlier because Columbus, I think, is trying. And I give him all props for trying. Don Waddell, everybody over there. Mm-hmm. But Zach Werenski has 2 years left. Just like Quinn Hughes entered last year with 2 years left. And what happened? Quinn Hughes got traded. Because he basically said, I'm not signing here. And it's going in a different direction. I would think that if the Columbus Blue Jackets don't trade Zach Werenski this year, he's gone by the trade deadline. If it doesn't go the right way in Columbus for the first half of the season.
Yeah, and when you consider everything that they've tried to battle through the last 2 years, and they've come so close to getting to the playoffs, it adds to the ultimate pressure that is on that organization, which the Sabres finally relieved itself of this pressure in 14 years. Mm-hmm. But Columbus historically has obviously had almost no playoff success in their franchise history, a little bit.
A sweep of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Under Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Yep.
You know, so these are major, major organizational challenges within a potentially growing league. So, you know.
We're going to start seeing those challenges even more, I believe. So the cap was flat for many years. COVID happened and whatnot. Now we're going to see the cap continue to rise. And that's why, like, people are not sneezing at Jason Robertson saying $15 million a year, no thank you, because they know what the marketplace is happening around the NHL and where the cap is going to go. What we're going to see now is we're going to see, number one, teams that are competitive making the playoffs. That is always going to be a destination for players. Like, are they competitive? Vegas competitive, Florida competitive, whatnot. There's other aspect to that. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're going to see teams that will have a hard time getting over the floor. And so players are going to take money. They may not be good players. They're going to take money. And those teams are going to keep recycling players, trying to get out. And hopefully the draft happens and they can have young players that make impact. But that economic aspect of the league and the cap, where all the teams were kind of spending at the cap the last 10 years, it's not going to happen anymore. That's going to separate a lot of teams into going to get it or teams that are rebuilding and not spending a lot.
Right. And again, this is an unprecedented run in NHL history of player movement in advance of the draft. And there will undoubtedly be more today. The draft begins 7 tonight here in Buffalo. If you're looking, just think of, you know, this month and some of the draft insiders that we've had on the show and, you know, friends of the show for a long time, like Adam Kimmelman, Mike Morial from NHL.com. Like, they've got Reed and Verhoeven as, you know, their picks for the Sabres at number four.
Okay.
Sam Cosentino had Chase Reed as well. Craig Button, Chase Reed as well. Carson Carroll's is certainly seemingly getting an awful lot of attention. Viggo Bjork has been mentioned a couple of times. And I think, like, for me, not knowing how the rest of it's going to play out, like, for whatever reason, I think Bjork would be the type of guy that the Sabres general manager would pick at number four. And I could be completely wrong on this.
Yeah.
I just think it's a really unique fit. And even, you know, another good friend of the show in local beat writer for The Athletic, Matthew Fairburn. All the Athletic beat writers were basically, you know, submitting top needs for the organization. He says impact forward, and that's where if Malhotra falls, then you would suspect him. But if the top three forwards go the way many expect it to go, then Bjork would become the next potential impact forward of that group, And I think that's why, it's part of the reason why I think, you know, maybe they would go that way as opposed to opening the floodgates for all the defensemen.
So do yourself a favor. If you have some time between now and 7 o'clock tonight when the draft starts, go on eliteprospect.com. Just Google consolidated ranking, draft ranking, elite prospect, and then you'll get it. And then you can go on all the experts if you like a certain experts or whatnot, and you can look at it, and you can read about it, and you can see the players involved. And we had, I mean, again, you talk about Cam from Elite Prospect that was here, will be here tonight.
Well, Cam's consensus 32 there has Carson Carroll's, and the other guy we had on this week, Chris Peters from Flow Hockey, also has Carson Carroll's. So, you know, there's depth in defense in the top 10.
There's a lot of depth, and that's they have their own opinion on this because they think that, you know, Malhotra should be second. Like, Cam thinks that Malhotra should be second after McKenna. And, I mean, most people think Stenberg's going to go second. So that's where it's interesting. Now, if Malhotra on Cam's list is second, but if he drops to four, you're taking a player that could be second overall at four.
Right.
So that's why it's go and look at it. I'm telling you, Elite Prospect is such a good tool. Go and look it up. You can follow your favorite draft analyst and kind of see where they are. And keep the computer open if you're at home during the draft. And, you know, first of all, you're going to have to check Duffer and Dan and everybody on the Sabres social on your computer. But, you know, have the list and kind of go and see which one has the list that kind of you want to, you know, kind of check the players that are being picked.
Trade the picks. Is that still a prevailing theme from the Sabre fan base? We'll find out through the course of the day. And, of course, if you're in and around KeyBank Center tonight, you can see the Stars close up at 5:15 in Ticketmaster Alumni Plaza as they walk the red carpet in advance of round number one of this year's draft. Join the fans out there, and you can find more information at sabres.com/draft. Where should Connor Hellebuck go? Shayna Goldman tells us next.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres hosting the NHL draft tonight. There's FanFest and Ticketmaster Alumni Plaza, not only tonight, but tomorrow as well. And music, games, prospect red carpet, which starts at 5:15 tonight. Visit sabres.com/draft to learn more. Shayna Goldman in her familiar Friday time slot on arguably the most exciting day of the offseason, because we know July 1st certainly won't be anymore, Shayna, so this is it. And you've written extensively about it, including on perhaps the biggest name that could move today, netminder Connor Hellebuck. What are you thinking as we're within about 6 hours now, 6.5 of the draft?
Yeah, what could happen in the next 6 hours? It's not like we've seen total chaos over the last week. I mean, we've been promised fun off seasons for years. We never got them. It looks like we're here. And Hellebuck is really fascinating because you can look at him a couple ways. You could say he's older. This is not worth it. You could say he's still got the juice. Put him in the right situation and let him cook. You could say he's figured it out in the big moments and the big games. You could also say the Olympics are not the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you can have all of these opinions kind of conflicting at once. He's coming off an iffy year by his standards. He obviously had a knee procedure done. That adds a little bit more uncertainty to it, also the team around him. But I still think Hellebuck has some game, and I'd like to see what he could do on a real contender. It does feel like with the right regular season usage, he can still be super effective in the postseason, but you got to not run him into the ground before that. So I would like to see some movement here. And I think that there's a handful of teams that could actually make sense for him and teams that he could actually want, because that's the other factor in it, right? It's not who needs a goalie. It's where does he see himself?
So one of those teams could be the Buffalo Sabres. The Buffalo Sabres were third in team save percentage last year, 11th in goals against average, 5th in goals save above expectations. Their goalies did well. But, I mean, you get to the end and you're like, okay, the playoffs of Montreal, Game 7, the back-and-forth Lion, UPL. Maybe Sabres beat Montreal with Connor Hellebuck. Maybe the Sabres beat Carolina with Connor Hellebuck and go to the finals. Do you think that would be a good fit? And do you think the $8.5 million for the next, you know, what is it, four more years? Five more years, you're right. Yeah. He's year three of eight, so 5 more years. Do you think that's worth it?
It could be for the right price, and that's obviously who knows what they're asking for. And it depends on how many teams he's willing to go to, too, because that could change everything. Technically, the Jets don't have to trade him, similar to like the Larkin situation, and that could change the whole makeup of a trade. But also, if you're Winnipeg and he wants out, this is your moment to do it in case his game goes down any further, he gets any older, right? So for the Sabres, I don't know if they necessarily need a goaltender of his caliber. I think that they've done really well without it, but I do think that there's value in having a number one and knowing who that is, because I think the back and forth of the goaltenders, it was good to have when they needed to change the vibes. And I think both goalies responded to it pretty well when, you know, they needed Luukkonen to be the guy and come up with those big saves. He did it. When you needed Lyon to come in and be your fixer, he did it. But wouldn't it help to just have that position solidified? I think from that perspective, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, know who your number one is, make sure you have someone behind him, no questions about who your goalie is. And if your defense slips up, which the Sabres defense did at times, and they, that's someone that could be behind that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I go, is that where the cap is best dedicated? Like, at least you get cost certainty here, and the goalie market is not the most enticing. But I do think that there's value in spending it elsewhere. So it helps that they moved out contracts, right? Losing Byram, losing Greenway, all of a sudden they have a little bit more space to do damage on both fronts. My focus number one would be the Alex Tuck replacement and figuring out, you know, one more top six forward to add. But I don't think it would be a step in the wrong direction if they went for a true number one goalie at this point.
Who else is on that short list for Hellebuck, in your opinion, best fits?
I think New Jersey should be very high up there. And, you know, it's tough because they did just spend all this money on Markstrom, and they, for whatever reason, extended him a year early, which looked dicey in the moment. It looks worse now. But they do have a new they're going to have a new goalie coach. And I think that's very important here, because it's the one element of the Devils that I've been, like, questioning for all these years. Why do all these goalies go to New Jersey to struggle, or they leave there and they're suddenly so much better? So maybe they don't need to go that dramatic, right? Because they have other needs, including punching up that forward group and getting more depth scoring and maybe another top six winger. It's a long list, but I still think they could make sense for him. I could understand Vegas. I could understand Edmonton both having needs. I don't really see Winnipeg dealing with them, and I don't see either team having the assets. The Canes would be intriguing here. Yeah. I don't think Carolina needs that kind of ace in net. We saw what they just did this postseason. I think they could get by with a by committee approach and kind of let Bussy grow into that role. But I don't hate that idea either. And then my wild card in all of it is, I look at the Minnesota Wild and say, you should be spending your assets on the center, be, you know, narrowly focused on the Dylan Larkin market. But that being said, there is something to Connor Hellebuck and Bill Guerin winning a gold medal together that, in my mind, I think, what if, you know, Minnesota used their two goaltenders as trade chips and just went, you know, completely off the rails here. But I think that is a very slim likelihood.
Shana, would you be a good agent?
Probably not. I think I'd be good as the consultant behind the agent, helping provide the information.
Okay, well, the question is, how would you consult Jason Robertson when offered a $15 million a year, 8-year long-term deal with Seattle in a potential that would be a trade with Dallas and then acquire the player? So what would be your consulting approach to Jason Robertson and having a $15 million contract on the table?
I'd be saying, what's your priority, winning or the money? Because if it's winning, it's not in Seattle right now. I don't think their timelines line up enough. I think the Kraken will be much better with Robertson. I also think they have a lot of work to do besides Jason Robertson. They are not a Robertson away from contending, and I don't think the money talks enough there. And it's not saying, oh, they should have offered 17, 18 million. It's, I don't think that makes sense, right? And we're hearing the reports of, you know, him not wanting a team like St. Louis. That makes sense too when you look at their timeline. If you're on a contender like the Dallas Stars and that's where you want to stay in that realm of contention, then you might have to take a little bit less. Now, how much less are we talking? I don't think other contenders are going to have 15 million, but I do think that there's value to saying he wants more than 12, because even if you put that 12 million that Mikko Rantanen just signed within Dallas, and you look at the cap hit percentage in year one of that deal, that's equal to $13 million in today's NHL. So I don't think it's a problem if he's saying, well, then he wants 13, right? I could see 13 or 14, but if you want to be with the contender, you might have to go closer to that 13 million. It's different from, say, like, you know, when Kaprizov signs this massive deal, you're committing to a team that has never gotten out of round one in the last 10 years. So obviously, you need a little bit more incentive. The same goes for someone like Kyle Connor. Sometimes you have to overpay to keep your own guys, especially when the market is rising the way it is, and especially when your team doesn't have as much to to show for what, you know, what this next few years might look like. So if you're going for the contender, you take a little less. So if that's the number one priority, and it does feel that way, if Seattle is not the move for him, then I would be saying that $13 million range is probably, you know, more reasonable.
Well, who's the best California fit for Robertson? And what do you think is going to be the return in a Robertson deal if and when it happens?
I mean, I love the idea of the Sharks because they're fun. I don't know if they necessarily need that high-end winger, but I don't think LA makes enough sense right now. I feel like from the Kings' perspective, they should go after a player like Jason Robertson. They need goal-scoring talent, but I would be, my priority number one would be on the center depth there and on defense. So I don't know if they're necessarily in the market, right? You have Panarin, you have Kempe, you have Fiala. And sometimes if you load up on the wing, you don't have to worry about center as much. I think they're still going to. So Anaheim is intriguing. A lot of young talent there. To have his shot-making ability, you know, across, say, from Leo Carlson. We know how well that Robertson clicks with someone like Hintz, so that two-way ability of Carlson could be really fascinating there, and that allows them to put someone like Cutter Gauthier and keep him on the second line, so you have that spread across the top six, and obviously Seneca's coming up the ranks as well. That one would be intriguing to me, and if they move out like a Mason McTavish kind of contract, which sounds like they're going to, they'd have the money for it. So those would be the two California teams that would interest me the most.
Out east, I kind of feel like the New York Rangers could be involved in there, like their conversation of Vincent Trocheck potentially being on the move. They've got 20-some million dollars, $25 million in cap space. Do you think the Rangers would be a team that could say, let's go all in, Jason Robertson, or other big fish that are swimming around the Erie Canal right now?
Yeah, I think the Rangers should be all in on Robertson if their intention truly is to retool and they can actually pull this off in like the next couple months, right? Because it did feel like they had two selling deadlines, even though one was only branded as a retool. They would make sense. They definitely need help on the wings. They definitely need more goal scorers. I could see the Islanders making sense if that, if any team needs help at wing. They keep going after centers. Don't understand it. Imagine someone like Jason Robertson with, you know, Matthew Barzal's transition game. Like, that would be really exciting, I think. The Devils make way too much sense, too. And, you know, talk about a team like the Buffalo Sabres. They are in that window. And, yes, he's closer to his late 20s than his early 20s. It's a little bit different from some of the windows of the players in Buffalo, but I think you can afford that, right? I think it's totally different going for a Robertson who's a year away from unrestricted free agency versus that 30-year-old who just hits unrestricted free agency for the first time. But the cost of acquisition is going to be huge here because any team could offer Sheet Robertson, right? And now you're giving up a massive chunk of change, plus you're going after, say, 3-4 first-round picks. It's totally different. So I think it's below that benchmark, right? If you're looking to trade, you're looking to go below what the offer sheet threshold would be.
I think the Sabres have all the right pieces to make the deal. I really do. And it just comes
a deal
down.
Or offer sheet?
No, deal.
Deal.
Yeah.
I think deal's
offer
better
sheet
in this
at that
case.
Price would be 4 first-rounder.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I'm not big on that, and I don't anticipate that Dallas would want to put themselves in that position based on their contending window as well.
Right, they want now. Players. Yeah. They want something.
But Shayna, it is fascinating. I don't think Robertson gets enough love for what he's actually accomplished over the last 5 years. He's in the top 10 in goals. He's in the top 10 in points. That in itself is rare because you can imagine who the other guys are. And then when you look like right ahead of Robertson in that top 10, guys that have moved recently, Marner, Rantanen, Panarin. Like, so this is all very representative of this fluid NHL and top players moving around. I think Robertson deserves to be in this conversation and if not, have his tires pumped a little more.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, sometimes I think the defense of his game gets a little bit overhyped, and I think the support around him is big for it. Like, not to say he's bad defensively, right? But this is not your Selke caliber guy. Like, that's his center generally. Plus, he has Heiskanen on the back end who he shares a lot of minutes with. But I think the offense doesn't get enough hype. In the early years when it was Hintz, Pavelski and Robertson playing together, it really was each player pulled their own weight in some sort of way. And I think that Robertson has just built up his own game and his own strengths to be more than just the goal scorer of that line. I think he's a better passer than he gets credit for. I know the skating isn't perfect, but you look at what happened with the Stars, especially say last year, by the time he was snubbed for Four Nations, how he turned his game around. And then this season, the 5-on-5 scoring completely dried up, and all season long, he was the driver of that, right? Like Johnston and Rantanen were scoring a ton this year. A lot of it was on the power play. You go into the postseason, and that was the last big question, right? It's okay, you're not a power play merchant. You do all this at 5-on-5. You've really built up your own game. Can you do it in the big moments? And he was their best player. in round one. You know, obviously it's different than going on a deep run, but I think he showed positive signs last year. I think some of the playoff struggles have been overhyped, but I understand when we're talking 13, 14 million and potentially multiple first round picks per player, you want to know that they can level up in the postseason. I think he showed that this year. So if there were any lingering concerns about him, it's like, no. He proved it at the most important time of his career facing this contract situation as well.
Another fish that's swimming around the Erie Canal right now.
How about Lake Erie, since it's right Lake outside Erie. Of our door? Or the Buffalo River. That would make a little more sense.
Lake Ontario. I mean,
Lake Ontario's
salmon.
Up there.
I went to the alumni. We went fishing on Lake Ontario.
Cass Creek. Let's dumb it down.
Cass Creek.
Make it not a very hostile, you know, riverbed.
I like the canal, okay? I like the canal if we're talking about trading. I think
it's historic for sure. Yes.
Okay, good. Alex DeBrincat is like somehow in a conversation now. Dylan Larkin wants out of Detroit. Steve Yzerman has got the Iser plan not working, and DeBrincat is a year away from UFA. And I mean, that's a good goal scorer, and that's a piece that teams would be loving to add. Would the Sabres be in that conversation too of a team that maybe could look at DeBrincat?
Why not? Because look, if we look at the Sabres and we looked at what went wrong this postseason, it's that their centers did not pull their weight enough, right? Like we talked about it a ton this spring. They needed more out of their centers. Okay, well, centers are really hard to acquire in this league and they're incredibly expensive. So say you can't get the best centers on the market. Why not load up on the wings, right? Because we're not talking about the Sabres having awful center depth. I think that there's so much potential and there's so much talent coming up the ranks, and like, think of Hellenius in a couple years, what he could be, you know, be doing in more of a mainstay top six role. So I think that would be pretty fun. I think that would be great to get a shoot first goal scorer, right? So it's a little less attention than on Tage Thompson on the power play. I think we all knew it. It was way too predictable. Everything runs through Tage. Why not get another sharpshooter? And, you know, I think I was a little too harsh on DeBrincat this season because I felt like every time he was being talked about, it was like in the context of who deserves to be on Team USA, him or Cole Caulfield. And I gave Caulfield that slight edge because I liked the minutes he was thriving in. I thought he had a tougher workload. But DeBrincat didn't get enough credit for the goal scoring, for the play driving. It's just that they couldn't have too many short kings. I think that the Sabres can totally afford to bring in a short king and a goal scorer of his caliber.
You think the Sabres should be in on Nikishin?
I think the Sabres should be in on every big-name player because I think every general manager that wants to be actually doing their job should be kicking the tires on everyone and just seeing what a potential trade looks like. The thing with Nikishin, though, and this is going to be really interesting, is what kind of team can bring him in and what kind of workload they have for him. Because, yes, he thrived this year with the Canes, absolutely, but we know how many defensemen struggle elsewhere and then go to that, like, system, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. It's tough to play the Kane system and keep that pressure up, but we've seen how it's maximized defensemen that have struggled elsewhere. So how does he look outside of that? And how does he look outside of sheltered minutes? That's the other big part of it, because a big part of his success this year was that him and Shane Gothisbier were playing the easiest minutes of the defensive pairs. And sometimes when he gets a little bit more responsibility, we see his game get a little bit riskier. So that's kind of the risk reward of it all. Could he glow up somewhere else and become that second pair guy? Maybe. But at what cost of acquisition and at what cost of that next contract? Because if he's looking for a massive deal already, I don't know if he's worth it just yet.
Well, he was a rookie, though, and that's the thing to keep in mind here. Like, I mean, he's 1 year, 82 games into his career. He's on the all-rookie team and obviously is now a Stanley Cup winner. Like, I love
that team, Duffer. I was doing a dive deep in the shot share, like Corsi percentage, and they have all seven of their defensemen are the top 10 of
defensemen.
They always
do.
They have 15 of the top 20 players, Carolina. That's what they do, and that's why, you know, players like Nikishin and others are going to strive, especially as young players, to get themselves going, and then they build that foundation. I want to know, because I wasn't on the show yesterday, so I didn't really talk about Alex Tuch going to Washington, Zach Benson's extension. I think we both expected those moves to happen. But what do you make of the hole that they have to fill with Tuch leaving and then the Benson extension, 7 years at $7.5 million per year?
Okay, Benson, player rocks, extension rocks. It's a little bit more than Josh Doan. I think that's a good thing because I think they have more proof of concept after signing the contract versus Doan, right? They know already, oh, Benson's a dog in the playoffs and the best of his abilities can thrive in that environment. And here it is at 21 years old, 20 years old when the playoffs started, and he's doing it. You know, I think that could earn him a little bit more. He's worth more than $7.5 million. I think a contract is going to age incredibly well as the cap goes up and as he continues to develop into a difference maker. I know it's a lot of money for someone who doesn't have the longest proven track record of being this like great scorer, but I think he does everything right below the surface. We saw a lot of shutdown development for him, so that Seth Jarvis trajectory is still there for him, and I love that comp. And I like the fact that he's doing it this young in his career. You know, that's the difference between him and a Brad Marchand, who we know is just a total rat king and great two-way player. So I think that potential is there that he's doing it this young. And I think that's a better bet for the Sabres at this point in their timeline, right? This playoff window just opened. So do you want to bet on the 21-year-old with this big contract? Do you want to bet on a player that's 30? And the answer has to be Benson in this case, because the risk of Tuck's contract, I just think is too much. Obviously, the number is going to be high. And a lot of teams like the Capitals could look at it that you don't have to spend a ton to acquire him via trade or acquire a top six winger via trade. You just have to dedicate the cap space. But that's a lot of cap space for someone who, you know, his speed dropped off a little. He didn't have a great postseason. But I think just big picture, you wonder how all of his skills are going to age after, say, year four. You have that certainty that he should be up to around that level, even a slight overpayment in those first couple of years. And then to say those last couple of years, even with cap growth, I don't think that's, you know, all of a sudden the third line contract, right? That's still a lot of money. So I think it makes a lot of sense for the Sabres to go this way and invest in Benson, let Tuck walk and try to figure out something else. But obviously it leaves them with a hole. So it's going to be interesting to see how creative they are, because so far they've been so busy. They're making moves. I think you're starting to see the vision come together too. And we saw it at the deadline, even though the results were a little bit different than the original intentions. I think the fact that the Sabres are making so many moves right now, I'm fascinated to see what they think that replacement could look like, because if they can get someone in that, you know, say 27-year-old range, it's a big difference.
Shayna, great stuff as always. We'll be monitoring your live reaction to everything tonight amidst our live reaction once the Sabres make their picks or make a big trade or do everything here to appease the fans as Buffalo hosts the draft tonight. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. You can test your draft knowledge in the Sabres Draft Trivia presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Enter for a chance to win a 2026 draft merchandise pack. Visit sabres.com/trivia to play. We'll come back with even more to add to the hype heading into tonight. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Couple of non-geography majors in studio today, and that will not affect your impact and potential of winning, because we want you to get in the mix for a signed jersey from the entire 2026 incoming draft class. It's presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Visit sabres.com/class to enter today, which is also amusing when thinking about the two of us in here. The classiest, as we get set to see what unfolds here in Buffalo, round one tonight at Sabres Live. Our Twitter poll: what do you think is going to happen?
Well, we have geography majors in the comments. So obviously, picking Caleb Malhotra, Chase Reed, Viggo Bjork, or others, and reply with your answer. So we get 8J here. He says, Bjork is such an obvious Sabre. Little guy with high motor and European LMAO. So there's the geography major there. We're getting a lot of Carson Carrolls. And then Mark says, Wyatt Cullen. Mm-hmm. I think that's too far. Could be at 20th.
Yeah.
It could be there, but number four, you're not looking at Wyatt Cullen. But you know what? Carrolls, Bjork, Reed, Malhotra, those are the picks.
It's another year where the two of us could work on our development, so that's good, because Dev Camp starts on Monday here in Buffalo, and we should be attending and learning from this next wave of Sabres who will come in post-NHL draft, and the Dev Camp schedule runs Monday through Thursday as we look at it, culminating, as it always seems to, with a 3-on-3 scrimmage on the morning of July 2nd.
Lecom Harbor Center is where you're going to find it, 2 p.m. practice on Monday, and then it's an early Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. on Wednesday, and then the 3-on-3 scrimmage is 9:30 on Thursday. Remember that Wednesday is July 1, which is Canada Day, and free agent, well, not so frenzy.
Taro says what for the Sabres tonight?
Well, he's not getting drafted again. That's not happening. I'm going to hold on to there's going to be a trade before the first round. And maybe right now, Commissioner Bettman is telling the GMs around, saying, you know what, don't trade now.
Stay quiet.
Wait until, like, if you have traded the fourth overall pick, wait until between three and four so we can announce it to the crowd and the buzz.
What a buzz it already has around it, and it's going to amp up even more. Make sure you join us tonight on our social channels, on Sabres YouTube, Dan Dunleavy, Cam Robinson from Elite Prospects, all here to give you the reaction to whatever the Sabres do. We'll see you then.